Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussion that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is October 23rd, 2016, and this is episode 17, Danganronpa. Welcome, once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the AnimeBuoy.org Recommendation and Discussion Podcast.
AnimeBuoy.org Recommendation and Discussion Podcast,
where we like to talk to you about our favorite anime and hope to open your eyes to some classics that you might have missed, as well as shine a light on some modern shows that maybe aren't getting as much love as we feel they should be. This week, we're going to be talking about the 2013 production Danganronpa. So, buckle in and let's do this thing. Slaggy, I think we have a news bit to talk about before we get to the discussion.
Yeah, we have some great news that starting just this past weekend, we have news from Toei Animation that they will be simulcasting Dragon Ball Super on Crunchyroll, Daisuke, and Anime Lab. So that is great news for those of you who've been waiting to have some sort of more official, less unofficial way to watch the show.
Yeah.
It's currently got all of what's aired on the Future Trunks arc. That is the currently ongoing arc. So, I mean, I would say if you've seen the two movies, I mean, you're pretty safe too, but I mean, otherwise, you might want to wait. Starting on October 30th, they're going to be rolling out 10 episodes per week of the earlier episodes of the series. And
every week thereafter, they'll be doing another 10 episodes until everything is up.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is great news. I mean, we've kind of had no official information about getting this over here in an official capacity, so this is definitely a step in the right direction. And, yeah, of course, highly recommended. I think that it's the best Dragon Ball series by far. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I love Z, but it was kind of a mess in its own way, and the original Dragon Ball didn't really age that well as far as I'm concerned. This is just a real treat, and I feel like they really understand, like, you know, kind of it's tongue-in-cheek sometimes, but, you know, it still has all the great action.
Well,
but,
and as it should be for, you know, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take itself too seriously all the time, which I think Z sometimes did, so.
Yeah.
That said, this is not Dragon Ball Super Buoy, so I guess let's go ahead and move on.
Indeed. We are talking today about Danganronpa. In order to talk about Danganronpa, we first need to talk a little bit about the video game series Danganronpa. So, Danganronpa, and I get the feeling that I am going to be saying the word Danganronpa a lot today, is the short version is that it is a visual novel murder mystery game series. It was originally released in Japan, the first game on the PlayStation Portable format back in 2010 in Japan. That original game for PlayStation Portable, or PSP as we call it, that actually never came out worldwide, but its eventual port to the Vita did get a worldwide release back in 2014. The anime, Danganronpa, is a very straightforward adaptation of that first game. So what that means, basically, is that if you are interested in getting into the Danganronpa series, you can just watch the first Danganronpa anime and immediately hop into the second game, and you will not miss any of the major plot beats or anything. It's a very straightforward adaptation. Slaggy, I think you were telling me that the violent sequences for the anime were somewhat toned down from the game?
That's my understanding. What I was doing some research about it, like with the baseball-related death, apparently
that
one was more violent in the game.
Yeah, and that definitely tracks my own recollection. You know, I'm a big fan of this series. I want to note here, so that we don't have to come back to it later, the second Danganronpa game has not been adapted to anime. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, like, hey, I thought there were multiple Danganronpa anime at this point.
There are.
There are. You're not wrong. And that's where things get a little weird, and why I wanted to sort of point this out before we get into the chief discussion. Earlier this year, a new Danganronpa anime did air. It is divided into two parts. One is called Future Arc, and one is Despair Arc. And it's sort of interesting in that it is effectively a Danganronpa 3 that finishes the storyline from the first two games. And so what sort of makes that interesting is that that storyline, insofar as we know to date, is only being told in this anime series.
Yeah.
The video game Danganronpa 3, which is being called New Danganronpa 3, is
new
actually...
New Danganronpa V3, even.
Yep, New Danganronpa V3 is actually... takes place with mostly a different group of people and characters. So definitely some really interesting stuff here that, you know, effectively to get, like, the whole story, you have to watch an anime, play a game, and then watch an anime. Either way, we're only here talking about that first anime series, which is an adaptation of the first Danganronpa game. Do you have that all clear?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a great time if you've been curious about this series. As we talked about on our sister show Game Buoy, Danganronpa is going to be coming to PS4 early next year, and, you know, you can get it on Steam and everything. So with, you know, New Danganronpa V3, I believe that wrapped up in August, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, did I call it V3? That's the game. You know, Danganronpa 3, the anime series.
Which its full title is The End of Hope's Peak High School.
Yeah, that wrapped up in the end of September, actually.
Yes.
So, you know, definitely you will be able to go ahead and catch up.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, with all of that having been said, we've gotten sort of the basics of what is Danganronpa out of the way. Let's talk a little bit about its genre and tone. And Slaggy, I'd like you to help me out here. I know that you've watched this more recently than I have. How would you describe the tone of Danganronpa?
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because, I mean, it's definitely a murder mystery, but, you know, there's also definitely, I would say it's more of a psychological thriller than, you know, straight up, like, you know, it's not like, like, you know,
a slasher.
It's not a slasher sort of genre as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of what is kind of spooky about Danganronpa, or, you know, the... You know, a lot of the horror elements come from the, you know, fact that there is the murder and everyone's trying to play mind games with each other. And so in that way, it's also kind of a, like, courtroom Phoenix Wright-ish almost, in a way.
Okay.
Because they have to, you know, try and, like, prove each other guilty. But I would also say that it's a comedy.
Wow. So that is that's pretty wild. So it's murder mystery with procedural elements and comedic elements? That sounds like a pretty wild mix.
I mean, that's the best that I can describe it. I mean, I never... I mean, there was definitely some parts that I was like, oh, snap, when, you know, you kind of... find out what's really going on. But I mean, I there were a lot of times where I was, you know, laughing. I feel like Monokuma is meant to be kind of presented in a silly way. I would say it's a comedy.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't disagree, but it just sounds pretty wild, especially I think for some of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with it. So let me then take this next step. What other anime are similar to it that people might be more familiar with?
I think the immediate comparison is Persona 4, the animation. I mean, Persona 4, also based off of a game, also involving a murder mystery, and something that's, I think, kind of interesting is that both of them are also very stylized with their art style.
Well, and that's what Studio Lerche is kind of becoming known for. They've done other work like Assassination Classroom, Monster Musume.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that even the, like, UI elements of the Danganronpa games almost kind of look a little Persona themselves.
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that assessment.
So I would say, you know, Persona is definitely its closest cousin.
So, like, Persona meets Phoenix Wright?
With a little bit of Kill la Kill mixed in.
Oh, wow. So it sounds very visually striking. Would you say that?
Yeah, and I mean, you know... I mean, I think I'm bringing in Kill la Kill with the high school elements of it, like, you know, being kind of like a strange sort of high school where there's more than meets the eye and things going on behind the scenes.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well then, I would like to now ask you specifically what you did and didn't like about Danganronpa.
I mean, I definitely loved the style. You know, especially a lot of the... death sequences were, like, really visually interesting to watch. I think the character, most of the characters are really enjoyable and, you know, just trying to see them outwit each other. I mean, I just like the whole premise of it is different than what I had thought when I, you know, originally heard about what Danganronpa was about. Like, I thought it was like, oh, they're just murdering each other at a high school or whatever. But, like, the way it plays out is very interesting.
Yeah, I actually watched this fan-subbed right after it finished airing. And when I first heard about it, I was very similar to you. I was like, that sounds awful. Like, it just sounds like a Battle Royale ripoff or something. I don't really know that I'm interested. A buddy of mine got me to watch the first episode, and I ended up marathoning the entire show in, like, one day.
I think the other thing that might have colored my perception of it was that somehow I had stumbled upon a Sonic the Hedgehog fanfic that was set in set at Hope's Peak Academy. And I was like, oh, so this is what Danganronpa's about? I did not seek it out. I think it was on the fanfiction text Twitter. And so I was like, oh, that sounds terrible. I've got to look this fanfic up. And
as you do.
And then I was like, oh, that's what Danganronpa's all about? I don't know if I want to get into that. But it's, you know, very, I feel like it's a mix between, you know, Kill la Kill and, I mean, definitely Persona elements in there. So those are both really, really great anime. So,
excellent.
Slash game.
Okay, well, you know, we keep talking about what Danganronpa is about. Obviously, we can't say too much. It's a murder mystery, and half of the fun is seeing the way that the various murder mysteries sort of play out. But to that degree, it's like, why don't you give me sort of the elevator pitch of what Danganronpa is about?
Oh, do you not want me to share what I didn't like?
We will come right back to that. Okay. Don't worry.
So the elevator pitch of Danganronpa is, imagine that there was a high school where only the best of the best got to attend, but in actuality, it ended up being a twisted death match.
But you say, you know, everyone has to be sort of the best of the best. And so one of the details that I really liked about Danganronpa is that you end up seeing sort of like each student is a genius of something, more or less. And I really liked the various ways that sort of like the person who's like a genius at like otaku drawing or what have you, like how would that ability be utilized in a murder mystery type scenario? And so I specifically picked one that I think didn't have a huge impact because I don't want to bring up any of the ones that I think do, but that was for me one of the fun twists was like, oh, of course they could figure that out because they are a master blank.
Yeah, and then the twist is that the main character, Makoto, won by a raffle, so he kind of isn't really a genius in anything. And he's the ultimate lucky student, or super high school level good luck is in the Japanese terminology of it.
Yeah, and you know, that's another thing I want to bring up real quick is I actually think that the way they localized this is really smart. I definitely think it keeps with all of the Japanese intentions while still retaining like a lot of catchiness and like over the top Japanese game show type themes while still, you know, carrying the intended purpose in the English language release. So I was really impressed with that aspect. That having been said, Saigi, you clearly want to talk about what you didn't like, and I would like to hear it.
I think the one thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was the character of Hifumi Yamada. You had mentioned the ultimate fanfic creator, super high school level doujin artist. He is a character who is portrayed as, you know, kind of a otaku in the unhealthy way. And his character design is a heavy guy with kind of like a mole face. So, I mean, not only is he a heavier guy,
as a
but
bigger
he's,
guy.
He's a bigger guy, but he's also kind of not made to be attractive. You know, some of these other characters have, you know, like very like striking designs and, you know, very shonen designs or shoujo designs in whatever ways, but you know, it's almost like his fatness and his otaku-ness are made to be a point of humor. And I just because I feel like that's a really lazy thing to do in this day and age. You know, we kind of saw a little bit of that, although the character was a good-looking guy in Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE, where the this one character was, you know, a bigger guy, but he was like an otaku and only like 2D girls and all that. And I think it's a lazy characterization. Well, I would have,
and I will say that that characterization at least has very little to do with how we perceive larger people and with how the Japanese perceive people who live the otaku lifestyle.
Right.
I do agree that it's a lazy characterization, but for me, at least in part, that might be because I live the otaku lifestyle, and that's not a brag, let me tell you.
Yeah,
I mean, take some of these characterizations somewhat personally sometimes, so.
Yeah, same here, especially as a bigger guy who is an otaku as well. Like I said, I think it's just a little lazy, but it didn't completely detract from my enjoyment of the show, which, I mean, is interesting. I'm hearing some similar concerns about that with Yuri on Ice, the gay ice skating anime that's really popular right now. Apparently has some similar things about, you know, kind of unpleasant portrayals of bigger folks. But anyway, that being said, I think that's just a really minor thing. I would have preferred if they were to include a, and I mean, that's more about, you know, the characters of the game. I can't really fault that on the anime itself. But I mean, why couldn't, if there was going to be a bigger guy, he could have been, I mean, even though this would be maybe still kind of cliche, like the ultimate sumo or whatever, you know, and that, like, so that where his size was considered something like a positive or a strength rather than.
Or shock of all shocks, he could just be a bigger guy who is also attractive and normal and well-adjusted and ultimate something else. Although, to be fair, part of the point I felt the show was making was that all of these ultimate people who are so, like, single-minded are actually also suffering a character flaw to some degree, to the degree that they are that single-focused. Did you feel that that subtext was present?
Definitely, and I mean, I think also in a way, to kind of look at the other perspective of where I was coming from with Hifumi's characterization, I think there's definitely an element of that they're supposed to kind of be filling these tropes. So I do feel like a lot of it is kind of tongue-in-cheek. Like, oh, you know, it's the hot-blooded biker gang leader. It's the, you know, mysterious spooky girl. It's the idol girl. Like, so I feel like, you know, there was definitely some intent to be a little bit cliche, I guess, in, you know, the way of, like, you know, kind of to poke fun at these tropes. And like you said, where they have these, you know, different character flaws and, you know, put in this situation, you know, the kind of tested, you know, to see their metal is tested, so to speak. I mean, when you have, then you have Makoto, who is the, you know, just the one who won by raffle, who kind of ends up really being, you know, the one who is the most well-adjusted.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I do think that that was the sort of the point, so to speak, which I just think is, you know, just a really fascinating sort of idea to have this scenario where sort of the normal person, by virtue of being normal and well-adjusted, is able to make a difference in this sort of scenario. So I want to move forward, though. I don't want to linger too much longer on that part of this. I'd like to talk a little bit about the production details of the show. Specifically, you know, it was animated by Studio Lerche. We talked about their work on Persona 4, the animation, Assassination Classroom, Monster Musume. How did you feel, Slagkick, about their work here on Danganronpa?
I thought it looked great. One of the minor issues I'd had with Persona 4, the animation, is that sometimes it looked a little stiff, I guess, you know, in the way that sometimes animation and, you know, anime animation can kind of be a little bit less, like, you know, like, fluid. We're actually seeing a lot of people reacting to the new Pokemon anime, which has very, you know, like, fluid sort of animation, and, like, you know, instead of kind of, like, more emoting from the facial expressions, which, you know, that's kind of, like, become a joke or a meme in a way, you know, just like the way that anime characters just stand and emote, basically, especially if they're iron-blooded orphans in a Gundam series. So I thought that, you know, I definitely saw some improvement from the animation quality of the Persona 4 animation, which I still thought was really well animated. But again, like, at times I thought it kind of looked like, you know, they, you know, there wasn't a lot of action or, you know, in certain parts.
Yeah.
But I like I said, I think it really, in the way that, you know, they've really, I think they really refined their craft since then. And I mean, you know, this, of course, having been 3 years ago when this anime aired, but I mean, by that point, having refined their craft to be able to, you know, just make something really visually striking. And like, you know, now we've seen Assassination Classroom come from them. And I mean, that series looks great. I love the visual look of that one. So I'm looking forward to seeing more from them, I guess, is where
awesome.
I could leave it off.
All right. Excellent. Well, then let's next talk about the director. The director for this piece was Seiji Kishi-san. You're probably familiar with his work on Ragnarok, the animation, Persona 4, Devil Survivor 2, Yuki Yuna is a Hero. I know are ones we're a big fan of here in studio. Assassination Classroom. I think it's safe to say he's developing a little bit of a style.
Yeah, he also was involved on the Persona 3 movies.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely. He was he's in all the previous things I mentioned. He was director and chief director. For those, he was the supervisor. He also actually did animated cutscene direction work for some of the Danganronpa games, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, the one known here as Danganronpa Another Episode Ultra Despair Girls.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of his work, and he's definitely one that I like sort of have my eye on in the modern age of anime.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see, the series composition and writing was done by Makoto Uezu-san. You are probably familiar with Uezu-san's work, and this one goes way back. 13 episode script work on Akame ga Kill, did a lot of the series writing for Assassination Classroom, both series, a lot of the shows that we were just talking about, obviously Danganronpa, Devil Survivor, Yuki Yuna. So, you know, definitely a strong team up aspect here. How did you feel about the writing in Danganronpa?
I thought it was good. I mean, I was watching it subbed, so you know, I can't say how the dubbing went, but I mean, I thought it was well written, and I think he did a good job.
Fantastic. All right, now a lot of the music in the Danganronpa anime is actually the same similar music to what was used in the game, which was a choice that I think a lot of people saw as somewhat risky. That was done by Masafumi Takada-san. You might also be familiar with his work, mostly video game work here, but you know, stuff like Killer 7, God Hand, No More Heroes, did work for Vanquish, so a lot of work with like the Platinum Games folks.
Yeah, and Grasshopper from the sounds of it.
Yep, absolutely. He's also done a lot of work for the Bimani series, did some work on Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth, so definitely, you know, big composer in the modern age of gaming as well, at least on the Japanese side of things. How did you feel about the use of game music as a score for the anime?
I mean, that didn't bother me. I mean, I think it honestly makes sense. You know, to make a really basic comparison, like Pokemon using musical themes. I guess I can understand that people would think it's maybe lazy, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, it makes sense because if people are familiar with like the musical cues and stuff, then, you know, it's just going to enhance the, you know, the adaptation of it.
Excellent, excellent.
I mean, and I feel like Persona 4 used some game music too, didn't they?
I think that is correct, yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since I watched that one, but I feel like they used like some of the battle themes and stuff.
I believe you're correct, although I actually have to say I haven't watched all of the Persona 4 animation, so...
It's literally Persona 4.
Well, that's actually why I stopped, yeah. All right, well, let's wrap this part of the discussion up by talking about the last piece of the puzzle, and that is, of course, the character designs by Kazuaki Morita-san, and those are specifically based on the original character designs by Rui Komatsuzaki-san. And you might be familiar with Morita-san's character design work on stuff like, again, Assassination Classroom, Persona 4 animation, but also some stuff like the Fate meta-series series had the prototype OVA. They did the character design for that. Arpeggio of Blue Steel, Ars Nova. Arpeggio of Blue Steel's Ars Nova's movie adaptation. The Kamisama Dolls series. So were you a fan of the way that the character designs were adapted?
Yeah, and I mean, I'd had some familiarity from, you know, seeing what the characters looked like in the game. And I mean, I think it was well adapted. I mean, you know, same with Persona 4, you know, which again is an adaptation. I think the designs were good.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, then let's move forward and get toward the point where we start to wrap this up. I'm going to ask you your favorite sixth grade English composition question. I'd like you to discuss what you took away as the themes of the piece.
I mean, I think I'd have to go back to the character of Makoto, our hero, and the fact that he is kind of initially viewed, you know, it's not a huge spoiler, but he's thought of, in the first murder that happens, he's thought of as the suspect. And I mean, he really ends up being the one who, really helps solve the mystery. So I guess, kind of the whole, trope of an ordinary boy or girl doing great things.
Well, he's sort of the archetypal, like, 97-pound weakling, so to speak, and, you know, ends up really being the focus character, as you say, making, you know, the difference. So I think that thematically it's very interesting to have this character who is presented as, like, not as driven, not as motivated, but living a healthier life, ultimately be the key to, you know, solving things to the degree that they do get solved.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it also definitely plays off of the whole idea of, like, high school. Like, it's not really, like, a slice of life anime, but, like, you know, like, oh, there's the baseball star, there's the biker kid, you know, and, like, just, like, the way that, you know, there's definitely a lot of themes involving, you know, identity and, you know, the identity that they are presenting to the rest of the schoolmates being, you know, not necessarily who all that they really are.
Absolutely. So I'd like to wrap up our discussion on the anime itself by talking about moments that stuck with you. What would you say is, like, your favorite moment, so to speak?
I really like the baseball related death. It was just or punishment, I guess I should say. It was very, like, ridiculous, and I was kind of like, what? Because it's, like, pretty dark. I think that my favorite thing, I just have to say, is just anything with Monokuma. Like, he's twisted, and, like, just when you think that it can't get any worse, he's like, oh no, I'm gonna make it so that I'm gonna punish you and kill you and harm you and freak you all out anyway, even if it's not fair. So I guess my answer is Monokuma's no fucks given attitude.
Excellent. I think for me it's probably the first time you see a proper murder sequence, and it does, like, the whole, like, weird 3D CGI visualization, like, really stylize the murder.
Yeah,
I thought it was really, even though, I mean, you could probably describe the CGI as, like, basic and, you know, underwhelming even in 2013, I actually, for me, the use of it stylistically really resonated, and I just found it to be an absolute delight, and it really caught me off guard, which makes it unfortunate that I'm mentioning it here in this context, but I thought it was really cool.
Excellent.
Awesome. All right, well then, let's wrap this up by talking about where this can be watched. It used to be on Crunchy, I believe, but I don't think it is anymore.
Yeah.
We have confirmed, though, as of today, it is on Hulu and Funimation.
Yeah, and I believe Hulu is dubbed and subbed. I chose to watch it subbed, but I believe when I was, like, looking at the page when I first loaded up, I could choose from the dub or the sub, and I just, like, dub. Sorry, sub. And then I just continued watching it from, you know, next plane, so.
Excellent. Well, then, overall, at the end of the day, would you recommend Danganronpa to be watched?
And definitely, especially if you're curious about the series as a whole, and maybe just don't really have the time to sit down and play through the whole game. I would be kind of similar to Persona 4, except, I mean, like, you really should play Persona 4. Like, I mean, it's one of my favorite JRPGs ever, but, so yeah, I think that, you know, If it sounds like that kind of the quirkiness of it is your sort of thing, I think that you'd really get a lot out of it.
Awesome. All right, well then let's start wrapping this show up by talking about, what have you been watching?
said, hey, what's going on?
All right, Slaggy, I think I'll probably have a larger whatcha watching this week than you, so why don't you start us off?
Okay, well, of course.
And I say this week, but I guess I mean since last episode.
Yeah. I guess the first place to start is catching up on Dragon Ball Super. We, you know, had a couple busy weeks. We had the GamerX conference and just lots of stuff going on, so we've been a little behind on our watching of Dragon Ball Super. As I mentioned earlier, this arc is really great. You know, it's got the Future Trunks fan service for all of you, and I'm just really excited. I feel starting to wrap up, so I'm excited to see how it ends up and what's going to be next. I also caught the beginning episodes of the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime that just started airing on Adult Swim. So that's definitely been very interesting. I'd only had a very limited knowledge of JoJo, so I guess it's just very different than what I was expecting, you know. And I know that the JoJo series, the manga, like, ends up going all different places with, you know, times and settings and stuff, but just the Victorian setting, but them kind of being very, like, shonen, muscled anime brawler dudes is a very interesting contrast.
Excellent.
The last one I want to highlight is a very interesting one that I don't know if we'll end up talking about it here on Anime Buoy, but it is Please Tell Me Galco-chan, which is a short-form anime series. So the episodes are about 3 to 5 minutes each. It is about a girl named Galco, and she's a high school student who, she's very sweet and, like, you know, gets along with everyone, but she has very large breasts. And, you know, normally we would kind of point out that these sorts of things can be problematic, but I think it's actually really subversive because her and her friends talk about things like, you know, she has a friend who's kind of like a little nerdier, and the friend's always like, oh, well, girls with big breasts have back problems, and girls with big breasts, is it true that they have large areolas and stuff? So they're just very frank in their discussion of, you know, girl stuff and like tampons versus pads. And as far as I'm aware, I feel like that's very kind of daring.
Taboo, even.
And taboo for a Japanese series to be just like so openly. And like, it's not played for fan service, I really feel.
Yeah, I didn't feel that it was fan servicey at all. In fact, there's even like toilet and bathroom humor played by the girls, which I felt was super subversive.
Oh yeah, they're like, oh, we time how long you take and decide if it's big or small. And in the boys in the class, they are portrayed as kind of perverted and be like, oh, the you know, boobs apparently feel like soft bread dough. And so you see, like, one of them at home, like, kneading bread dough and, like, imagining that it's Galco's breasts. But it's not presented in a way where you're kind of like, oh, yeah, dude, you're like, really?
No, he's presented as kind of like a sad figure.
So I feel it's like it's kind of, I mean, I can't really say because I am a guy, but I feel like it's kind of subversive.
Yeah, I felt very positive toward that show. I thought what it was doing is, you know, very interesting and very forward-thinking when you consider where it's coming out of and ultimately like what they're doing.
So I think that about wraps it up for me.
All right. Well, I actually watched quite a bit of all that. I did watch because I checked out Toonami's current anime lineup just last night, in fact. Wanted to check out how the dub of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is doing. Wanted to check out the dub of Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that was I was really interested in that. Was there another one that they aired last night?
Yeah, they aired Hunter x Hunter.
Oh, yeah, which obviously is always a good time. But the
I feel like we've gotten requests to cover Hunter x Hunter.
We have, as a matter of fact, and maybe someday one of us will make it to the end of the series and then we can do so. But for me, the big thing is that I popped in the first disc of the new Funimation release of Escaflowne.
Oh, you did that without me?
My copy of that came in on Thursday, and, you know, Pride kickstarted it. I talked about it here on the show before we took our hiatus. It just, the Blu-ray came out beautifully. The new dub, I sort of spot checked it. I don't typically watch things dubbed, but I like to have an idea of how it went. I actually think the dub is pretty good. I know there was some hate online, but I feel like that hate is rooted in nostalgia because, like, that's my show rather than this is a bad performance. That having been said, I'm happy that people don't have to choose. Funimation did find a way to cater to fans of the old dub and people who want to enjoy the new dub. So whichever your pleasure, you can get it.
Yes, and plus Funimation.
I watched like 3 episodes could get a sense of the new Blu-ray release. So calm down. If you want to do a group rewatch, we definitely can.
I'm just saying, like, even those first 3 episodes are fantastic.
I would rewatch them. Calm down. In fact, part of why I called this a twice monthly show at the beginning of this episode, even though we have talked about going once a month in light of, you know, sort of recent scheduling issues, is that with stuff like Escaflowne, we may have a couple more months of 2 episodes a month before we switch back over to the idea of doing once a month. I would really like to see us get an Escaflowne episode out in November is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, please look forward to that.
Awesome. All right. That's all I really wanted to say. You hit all of the other big points. Galka-chan was a big one I wanted to talk about because I just think it's such a cool thing that they're doing. Let's move over to the social links. Do we have any this week?
Yeah, we have a few tweets to catch up on. Yeah, so going quite a ways back, we're sorry that some of these tweets go all the way back to the summer. We have a tweet from Slow Anime replying to our Macross Plus episode saying, just listen to this one. The virtual idol part is interesting, but not the first. Go watch Megazone 23 if you haven't.
I would be happy to. I don't think I've seen that show since I was in 7th grade.
And I am always happy to see more virtual idol shows. Your Enzyme shared a video for us. It said, new Captain Christian video about FLCL. This dude is fantastic, and I definitely need to check that out. It says it's FLCL Journey to Maturity is the title of that video, and it sounds like it is going to be a great watch. Imiru69 saying, I wonder if the guys from animebuoy.org agree with me. Is All Out starting to look like the new Free? Peach emoji, kind of embarrassed emoji, blushing, smiling emoji. And it's the promo art where one of the rugby players is showing off the ample booty.
Yeah, they all got them cakes.
And I would say, yeah, I've definitely heard a lot of comparisons to Free. I need to check out All Out. But I'm also, you know, now that this is months later, we're getting a lot of buzz about Yuri on Ice being, you know, kind of doing the same thing for ice skating. And also apparently really taking it there with the gay content. So
yeah, apparently. I'm really excited about that.
Edward Wong 4 said back in August, watching Free, and I didn't think it started too slow, animebuoy.org. I was hooked by the last reel of episode 1. When y'all said it started slow, I was thinking of a slow burn like Preacher, but I feel like Free goes off the races pretty quick, at least from a character building intrapersonal relationship perspective. I agree. You know, the characters and their friendships and their bond as the swimming team is really, aside from the awesome swimming sequences, really what makes that show such a delight.
My deepest issue is that I am deeply impatient, but I think you're absolutely right.
I am too these days with anime. Like, I honestly prefer a 13 episode anime, or at least a 13 episode arc. I like that. That's kind of been what Dragon Ball Super's been doing, instead of like 50 episodes. It's something I'm actually really struggling with when we're covering our Pokemon episodes on Stabcast, because I really like catching up with it, but I'm like, I want to see gym battles, not more Team Rocket episodes. Your Enzyme says, I never finished Free. The handsome boys weren't enough to keep me interested. Aw.
Understandably.
You might want to try the second series, Free Eternal Summer. It kind of definitely picks up a lot with a lot more of the swimming and stuff. That one might have a little more for you. Edward Wong jumping in on that conversation saying, I really love it for the interpersonal relationships, but I always love relationship dramas. And then Your Enzyme saying, it's still on my list to watch. Maybe I'll give it a go again. Edward Wong said back in August, after powering through the first 5 episodes of Mob Psycho 100, I can't wait for animebuoy.org to cover the show.
That is almost certainly a thing that will happen.
Yeah, that was one of the most popular anime from, that would have been over the summer season, right?
Yes.
And I heard that the ending was just like, whoa. Like, I heard it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, a lot of the people I know who are, like, deep into anime are super into that, but I feel like a lot of my friends that are a little more casual level aren't familiar with the series, which for me means it's the perfect show for us to shine our light on. So I would definitely look forward to that.
And last but certainly not least, California Wolf, back on September 7th, said, where did you guys go?
We couldn't tell you. Then we'd be spoiling the murder mystery.
As Captain Spike said, just scheduling-wise, it's been kind of tough to keep up with the anime buoy, but we're definitely glad to be back. And like he said, at least giving you once a month content about some of our favorite anime or things we think you should be checking out.
Indeed. And I think you also mentioned a message or a tweet while we were recording came in from a user, California Wolf. Is that right?
Yeah. Thanks for being hot off the presses. I guess the like notifications must have gone through. So California Wolf said, in regards to Danganronpa, our question of the week, we said, we return this week with a look at Danganronpa. Have you seen the anime adaptation of this high school murder mystery video game? Did I just say mustery?
Possibly. Sounds delicious.
So California Wolf said, reviewed the first one but avoided the newer ones because they are prequel and sequel to the second game and not the actual game. Decent and like over the top characters. They really suck you in, but being a mystery, you want to solve the mystery, and I didn't find it very strong in that respect. But it was a pretty entertaining show, that's for a fact.
Excellent.
Right. Yeah, I wonder... California Wolf, I wonder if you would have you played the Danganronpa games? I'm curious to find out if you have and if you prefer like the mystery that way or if it's just just the kind of the story in general. But thank you for your feedback.
All right, well, with all that having been said, Slaggy, why don't you start up the exit loot with our solicitations?
All right, we love your feedback. We like your iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter. You can mail us at mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
mailbuoy@animebuoy.org.
And check out all of our episodes at animebuoy.org.
animebuoy.org.
Captain Spike, where should we go to hear more of you and me, but also sometimes without me?
All right, well, you can check us out over at the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
Your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. Obviously, that show is all about Slackick and I talking about left of center video games, so check it out. We also have the Ranger Pridecast. This is one I do without Slackick. Instead, my buddy Shane Alenko does that show with me. We talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series upon which it's based out of Japan. If you're interested in the kind of stuff we talk about here on Anime Buoy, you'd probably be interested in the kind of stuff we talk about over on Ranger Pride.
I'm like,
Slaggy, what about you?
I kind of want to guess this week just because I was into that episode of Dino Supercharge.
All right, but what about you? You have some shout-outs?
Yeah. If you like to hear about drag queens, you can listen to Spike and I along with Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and Delvin from VG Realness at Reading is Fundamental, the podcast where we serve tea and dish on everything RuPaul's Drag Race, hunty. We're wrapping up the All Stars 2 season, so if you are all about RuPaul's Drag Race, you might want to check us out. We also have the Same Type Attack Bonus podcast, or Stabcast for short, which is your twice monthly look into the deeper worlds of Pokemon. So we do that with Sulker, and we are the Pokemon trainers over there. I'd also like to shout out to Podyukin Comics, Cosplay, and Cons podcast over at podyukinccp.podbean.com, and that's where Edward Wong IV, who was our lovely guest on the FLCL episode, gives you comic, cosplay, and con content.
Indeed.
And if you want to listen to some great video game podcasts, we shout out a bunch of them over at GameBuoy.org. So
GameBuoy.org.
We would love it if you listen to GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
But, I mean, you could also just open up a show roll and see the links. But please listen to GameBuoy, too.
Please listen to GameBuoy, too. All right. Well, with all that having been said, it has been a lovely Sunday afternoon talking to all of y'all. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had speaking. Until next time, keep watching. Keep thinking, and
Yokuso Zetsubo Gakuen.
Doggone, Grandpa.
What?
That's what one of the names that the internet gives to Danganronpa.
Doggone, Grandpa?
Yeah, so I think on the Sonic fanfic, he was like, I'm the super high school level speedster.